to go, and then it was interrupted by a couple of special speakers that came in, and it's called Re-Energize. I'm finishing that series on Re-Energize, and the last one that I want to look at, things that kill our passion. Every one of us had passion, and passion brings us to another level, amen? And something happens in life that destroys our passion. When you have no passion, you have nothing, you don't do anything no more. You just sit down and you just dry up there. So I want to speak about things that kill our passion. As we close the series, we want to look at this. What is passion? Passion is a strong desire that can get you to do amazing things. When you're passionate on something, you go the extra mile. Amen? You go the extra mile. So some quotes I want to share with you. Nothing in life is ever accomplished without passion. When you have passion for something, you love it even when you had it. It's amazing quotes right there. So passionate was the guy who is a scientist who finds cures for diseases. He works hours and hours. He has this passion for that. A passion is what takes sport people to start and have them reach their new goals. They have one cup. They're so passionate. They will work harder and harder and harder to receive the second cup when they have that word passion. Passion is the thing that turn ordinary people to extraordinary people. Here at New Hope, God wants us to live life with passion. Life passion in our lives. God is passionate about us, and He loves you the way He loves me. He loves us so much. Why do I say that? And Zephaniah 3:17 tells us this. Yahweh, your God, is among you, a warrior who saves. God is so passionate about you. He sent His Son to save your life. If He was not passionate, He would never send His Son on the cross for you and I. But He loves us so much. But passion, He went an extra mile. And an extra mile, He sent His own Son on the cross because He loves you. You know what I'm saying? When you have passion, you go an extra mile to do something else. But when the passion is destroyed, when the passion is quenched, when there is no more passion, we become dry and we don't want to do anything anymore. And there's things that kill our passion. And this morning, this is what I want to share with you. What are the things that kill our passion? There's many things. But I want to briefly go to a few things. In John 10:10 tells him the thief comes only to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He will come and try to kill, steal, and destroy your passion for God. Because he knows when you have this passion for God, you can move mountains by the presence of God. You can go everywhere when you have that passion for the Lord. Man, I remember when I was young. I'm still young. I remember when I was younger. 25 years ago, when I was so in love, I was passionate for my wife. I went the extra mile. I woke up at 4 in the morning to bring her to work, to pick her up. I did everything because that passion, I said, I'm going to do anything because I want her. But when you're passionate for something, you don't care what time it is. You don't care if the roses cost you $20. But now 20 years later, oh, $20 is too expensive. Let's look for something at $10.99. Where did that passion go? Come on, guys. Don't tell me I'm the only guy who does that. I tell my wife all the time this when she sees something. When I see it's a higher price, the Lord will provide. And just walk away. The Lord will provide. But when you're passionate, and when you're passionate for God, you go the extra mile. And what's happening in the churches, people are sitting down and warming up pews because they lost that passion for God. If you want to come back to have that same passion for God, and when we have that same passion, we will go the extra mile. We will run. We don't care who's there. We don't look at the ethnic. We will just run and do what God has called us to do because you're passionate to see the move of God. Are you with me this morning? I just started. God made us to have passion and to adventure and to have this energy. Why does our passion deflate at times? Why do we lose that passion. And this morning, I would like to share with you a few. And these are points that you must have heard at many places, but I just want to share it again with you. Nothing is new under the sun. You must have heard these words or points that I will be sharing, but I just want you to just open your heart and see what God has in store for us this morning. So the first passion killer that I want to speak about is the unclear purpose. It is easy to forget why you're on earth. It is easy to forget why you've come here on earth today. And at times we don't even know why you are here on this earth. And we forget our purpose of our lives. And that's the one big thing that kills our passion, because we have an unclear purpose. We don't even know why we are here. Did you ever speak to someone who said, I don't even know why we're on earth? But God has placed us here for one reason. And if you're asking that question to yourself, why am I here? God has placed you here. I pray through the message you will be encouraged why you're here. Not why in this building itself. I'm talking about why you're on earth. Why did God create you? Why did God create Cairo? Why did God create individuals? Why did God create your children? There's a reason why God has created us. Not just to sit and smooth on life. God has created us for a greater purpose. And if we are unclear, if we don't know why we are here today, that will kill our passion for God. We need to know why we are here on this earth. We get distracted with the many things in life, many things. Sometimes money can distract us. Sometimes jobs can distract us. Sometimes buildings can distract us. Bills, work, situation, the list can go on and on and on. And we forget the reason why we are here. It's not to build how many houses you have. It's not to have the biggest, fattest bank account. It's not for that. God has created us for one purpose, is to have fellowship with Him and to bring people to Jesus Christ. That's why you and I are here today. Bible tells us in Isaiah 49:4, but I myself said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and futility. Yet my vindication is with the Lord and my reward is with my God. Passion, once someone said passion and purpose goes hand to hand. Someone said that it creates passion in our lives. God put us on this earth for a reason. And the reason you think you're alive is just not to have fun and to enjoy. That is important, to have fun and enjoy in a proper way, or just to be comfortable. That's a weak purpose why we are here on this earth today. And I quote from Billy Graham. We know Billy Graham very well. God put us here for a purpose, and that purpose is to live for Him, and experience the joy of His presence every day. And when you enjoy that, and you experience His joy, and when you experience His joy and His presence, it will give you that passion to go out and allow someone else to experience the same joy and experience the presence of God. So one thing that kills our passion is an unclear purpose. We don't even know why we are here on earth. So I just pray that you understood the unclear purpose. You're not here by accident. God has placed every one of us here for a reason. Amen? The second thing is we're going to look at today is unbalanced schedule. Oh, I'm the one who's supposed to be preaching to myself about this, because I have an unbalanced schedule myself. And what happens is when you're too busy, what happens is when you take on too much things outside, what happens is if you have three jobs, what happens is that if you go in and you come in at 10 o'clock every night and you have no time for yourself, you, and when you have an unbalanced schedule, you will kill the passion for God. And that's what happens to a lot of people in Christianity. Brother Barrington, we see that. You have to have a balanced schedule. And I'm the one who's supposed to be preaching to myself. I have so much things that's happening. And at times when I'm so busy, I don't even spend time with the Lord. And that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to spend time with God and to hear from God. And what's going to happen is when you're overstressed and you're not balanced in your life, you're going to ruin that passion that you have for God. You have to have time of balance. Robert, you have to have time for balance. I got to understand that. And it's time for me to withdraw myself and stop. Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples and spent time with his heavenly Father. And he's written that in the scriptures to tell us it's time for us to withdraw ourselves and wait and energize again. Because if you don't do that, you're just going to crush yourself. And you're not going to have this passion anymore for God. But I want passion for God. Do you want passion for God? An unbalanced schedule can destroy us. And I can name you so many things. People can be involved in 100 activities a week. And we can spend hours in doing other things. And it just draws us away from the things of God. So this is maybe a wake-up call for myself and for all of us. Have a balanced schedule. Set a time for God daily, so you have this passion burning all the time for him. Amen? An unbalanced schedule. The Bible tells us, Ecclesiastes, there is an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven. So there's a time, and you can go on, a time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build. A time to weep, a time to laugh. It seems that I laugh a lot. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And he goes on. A time to throw stones. Okay, don't get me wrong here. It's not throwing stone at your neighbor, okay? And a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing. A time to search, a time to count as lost. A time to keep as a time to throw away. A time to tear, a time to sow. A time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time to war, for war, and a time for peace. There's a time for everything. And there's a time for you and I to withdraw ourselves to regain that energy again, to have that passion for God. We have lost passion because we put things other more important than for having a passion for God. And then we ask and we wonder why our churches are not growing anymore. I can ask you a question today. When was the last time you actually shared the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone? You think of it for a minute. What I like about this church is this. We love to serve. And I notice that we serve in this church. We love to help out. We are a caring church. We get involved. And we run when someone needs help. This is a good church for that. Someone gives a call. We run. We do those things there. Okay? And that's good qualities. We love that, okay? But the down part is it's maybe all the same people who do it. But when the same people do it, it just crushes. They're just going to be doing it as routine. They're going to be getting involved and always in the same things. What's going to happen is they're not going to take time for God anymore, and then we're going to lose this passion, so it's just going to become a routine. I'm doing this because no one else is doing it. And when you're overloaded, when you're overstressed, when you're not balanced with your schedule, you're going to start complaining. And what happens when you complain? You're moving away from the power of God. You're moving away from the presence of God. You're moving away from having that passion. And we lost this passion. So my encouragement to all of you, there's a time you have to say no. Pastor, there's a time I got to say no. There's a time you got to say no and have this balance. And go back and just get there and re-energize again. And when you come back, your back's with strength, with passion, and you do and you serve with all your heart. Amen? You're not going to be doing it complaining. We're going to be doing it with all our heart, with all our strength, with excitement because we're doing this. So an unbalanced schedule can quench that passion for God. Are you with me this morning? And some of us have this unbalanced schedule, including myself, and we need to be very careful on that. So we need to pull back and recharge. And rest and have fun, because if we don't do that, the passion will not be restored in your life and in my life. The Bible tells us in Psalm 127, 1, 2, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. It's the Lord who builds the house of God. Amen? It's Lord, but he uses the people to build the house of God. But we've got to be wise. We've got to be wise people. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. There are two things that will remove our passion for God and for the people is an unclear purpose and an unbalanced schedule. Those are two things that will kill our passion. The third thing is this unresolved conflict. Ooh, this is pretty tough. How can you have the passion of God and keep on having the passion of God if you have resentment or if you have anger or if you have hatred towards someone? It draws you away from the passion of God. Show me that picture. It's going to deflate you. It's just going to deflate you. It's not going to bring you anywhere. So those people in our churches, in our homes, or even in the world that have an unforgiven spirit, and you can't, you're bottled in. You can't do anything. You won't have, how could you serve God with passion with all your heart if you have an unforgiving spirit? It's, you can't, it has to have, you have to have a set free. You got to be in freedom and liberty. And we have heard testimonies in this church after years, after 10, 20, 30, 40 years, how a person has been touched by God and now forgave, and the person is set free in a different way. Because it's hard to forgive. Pastor, you don't know. She said something bad to me. Or he said something bad to me. But sometimes we keep things. Maybe that person is not even existing anymore, and we're still keeping resentment. We're still angry towards something that happened years ago. And what's happening, it's bottling you down to have this passion for God. You don't know what's happened 10, 20 years ago. Maybe that person, something happened. Some people are carrying things for 20 years, for 30 years. It's time to let it go. It's time to let it go. Oh, Pastor, but she offended me. You just do your part. Get them off the hook, and God, it's still on God's hook. But if you're free and you're set free of that, you will walk in liberty. You will walk in freedom and have this passion for God again. But forgiveness, if we have an unforgiving spirit, it will just crush our passion for God. Are you with me this morning? Am I preaching to the right crowd this morning? Because it happened to me that I had problems with forgiving. I couldn't forgive someone. I'm saying personal things. It's hard when someone does wrong to you and you go up to say, oh, I'm going to forgive you. It's hard. But I say this many times in this church. We stop to forgive when Jesus stops to forgive us. And that means Jesus never stops to forgive. We must learn to let it go. The Bible tells us in Job 5:2, for wrath kills a foolish man, and envy slays a simple one. Envy is jealous. This is what kills your passion, resentment and jealousy. Jealousy of other people can deflate your passion. We just look and say, oh, they have this car, or they have this, or they have this. And jealousy just comes in, and it deflates you to have the passion for God. They can have 20 houses, but maybe they're not even happy. And you're jealous for that? I won't be jealous for that. I want to be happy, not unhappy. Resentment is an issue that we haven't resolved. We keep that for hours, months and months and years, and you're just hurting inside. And you're thinking of someone, it kills your passion because you're thinking of something over and over and over and over, and you have sleepless nights. You don't sleep at all, and what does it do? It just crushes you. And what are you doing? You're thinking about that situation instead of spending and having passion with God. It pulls you away from the things of God because you're thinking over and over about things that happened 20 years ago. And you don't even know if that person is living or not. I like the way someone put this. Resentment is allowing someone else to continue to hurt you over something that's long time ago in the past. It's continue to hurt you even though it has happened in the past. Are you facing that? Something that happened 15 years ago and is still killing you now? Man, if I had to live with that guy took frauded me $50,000 and still live and think about that $50,000 that guy frauded from me, I would lose out my eye towards God. There's a time I got to let go. I can't do anything. What am I going to do? Beat him up? Someone might tell me, give me 10%. I'll go pick up the money for you. No. I forgave that person. Because I knew when you forgive, you're set free. Because I was taking time away from me to have this passion for God. I know Brother Don will probably say yes for this. He came in the office this week and he said this. Years ago, he had given a guy $60 because he needed $60 for help. And the man said, I'll give it back to you. So a month passed, 2 months passed, 3 months passed, but it's still in the mind of Don. It still kept him there. He said, it was bothering me. So I went up to him and said, okay, I forgive you. You can have the money. Because he wanted to be set free from it. Because that was just controlling him. $60 because the guy said, I'll give it back to you. Because if he continue, where's my 60? Where's my 60? Where's my 60? Where's my 60? And he was going to lose passion for God. So he had to come to a point that says, even though he is wrong, I'm still going to forgive him. But he's still there on the hook with God. God will deal with him. We just have to be people who walk on this earth to be set free and have this passion for the Lord. And when you have passion for God, we will do great things. Do you have passion for God? Now ask this question to yourself and you just reflect on this. If you have an unforgiving spirit, there's something that happened to you years ago and it's really bottling you down. It's really crushing you down. It's time to let it go today. Just let it go. It's tough, but let it go. God will give you the grace. God will give you the strength. God will help you overcome those hard moments. He will. Why? Because he came for what? He came to give life in its fullness. He didn't come to give it to us in bondage. He came to give us in fullness. And when you let it go and you depend on the power of God, you depend on the presence of God, you depend on his strength and his love, you will see when he pours his love on you, it's very simple. Say, Lord, come. I'll let it go. I let it go into your hands, Lord, because I don't want that to keep me away from you. And many of us are still living that kind of life. If you don't deal with it, it will keep on hurting yourself. Job 18:4. It's a slide before that. You who tear yourself to pieces in your anger, in the earth to be abandoned for the sake, or must the rocks be moved from their place? Let it go. That's why forgiveness is important. If you want passion restored once again in your life, you will have to forgive. You will have to let it go. And some of us here are in constant conflict, and that's not helping you. Maybe it can be at home. Maybe it can be at work. Maybe it can be at church. It can maybe having an unhealthy relationship. Let it go. It will kill your passion for God. Go home. Make that phone call. If it is your spouse, if it is your brother, if it is your son, if it is your daughter, whoever it may be, even though the thing is, you, if that person is wrong and you know is wrong, but just forgive that person because you were wrong and Christ forgave you. Hallelujah. Christ forgave you even though you were wrong. And when he forgave you, he set you free by the power of the Holy Spirit. He set us free. And that's the same thing when you just make that phone call. Says, and you know inside that person is wrong. But you say, okay, I forgive you. I pray for you and I forgive you. Be genuine, be honest, don't be a hypocrite. And just say, I forgive you. I'm forgiving you because God has given me this strength and this love to forgive you. And once you do that, now you're set free again. And you can run, you can walk, you can run in freedom, and you can fly. You can, not literally from a building, but you can fly. Because he set you free. It's like when you, a bird, you take him away from that cage. He's going to fly. And when you let that prison door open, that prison door, that's forgiveness has been there for years, and you just let it open, you will fly. You will sing. You will have this passion again for the one who has created you and has created me. Another thing, forgiveness is saying, God, I'm putting this situation into your hand and taking out of my hands. Forgiveness doesn't mean that the person is right. No, it will set you free even though you are right. Forgiveness is letting them get off the hook, but God still has them on the hook. But if you hold resentment, here is the word, it will suck your passion away for God. Let's learn to forgive. And as you do that, you're letting go and the passion will restore again in your life. Number four, coming to a conclusion. But I have many conclusions for number four. Number four is unsupported lifestyle. Two are better than one. What's happening is people isolate themselves. People don't want to get involved with anybody. Two are better than one because they have good return in their labor. You see, if you're two people working on something, it's better. It's a lot easier. It's a lot faster. When you do one person, it's harder. If either of them falls down, one can help the other one up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. What happens with individuals is we isolate ourselves and we don't go up to someone that God has placed around us and to share our heart with each other. And we say, I can do it alone. I don't need the pastor. I don't need this brother. I don't need my sister. No, God has designed the family of God to be put together, to have fellowship with one another, to build each other up instead of tearing down. That's why it's written in the Bible. Two are better than one. And we do is we just isolate yourself. I can't say it, but I encourage you to go to someone that has confidentiality and keeps that. That person's going to pray for you. That person's going to uplift you. That person's going to encourage you. So what happens is this. You fall. No one's around you because you want to isolate yourself from your friends and family. You don't want to say anything about the church because the church are the biggest hypocrites. Might be pretty strong, but there are hypocrites in the church too. And Lord, forgive us. Because we don't want to be a church that way. We want to be a church that two are better than one. We get together and we lift up that person. We lift up that sister. We lift up that brother. And we say, we're praying for you. If you cry, I am crying. If you're hurt, I'm going to be hurt. If you fall, I fall and pick you up. Instead of crushing on them when they fall. But what happens, individuals and personalities and character, they isolate themselves from people. Because if they go to someone else, if I'm going to go up to brother so-and-so or sister Christine, I'm going to say, Sister Christine, I want to confess with you something because I have a situation. If I come to her, what happens is it might show my weakness. So we don't want to do that. So we isolate ourselves and say, I can't tell this person, I can't tell this sister because he's just going to crush me. And they're going to see what kind of person I am. But we're not helping aside ourselves because why? Look at this, what the Bible tells us. In Acts, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. It's in the Bible. Don't isolate yourself from the things of God. Don't go away from the things of God. Be where the people of God have the same passion for God. And when you have the same, and when you're around the people who have the same passion for God, you will have this passion for God. Why is it so easy? You have a group of 10 people who has an addiction, has a smoking up, whatever you want to call it, and one person comes there and all of a sudden they have the same addiction. It's so easy to be influenced in a group of 10 people. But why not have the same influence with the passion of God? If we're a group of people who have this passion of God, and someone comes in and will just get the same thing, the passion of God. But if we isolate yourselves, it's just going to hurt us. It would kill our passion for God. And there's people that go to church 4 times a year. And I must say that. You won't have the passion for God. You don't. You can't tell me that you serve God through the internet. The Bible makes it clear through all the scriptures, fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Gathering with the saints. Getting together, lifting up, praying for each other, encouraging one another, hearing testimonies with one another. When someone is suffering and needs a $5, give that $5 and lift them up again. Because that day will happen to you too one day. So what happens is if you spit in the air, it comes back in your eye. So if you spit in the air saying, I'm not going to help, that day will happen and no one's going to help you. So we need each other. So unsupported lifestyle. Please, children of God, friends, get yourself in a group of people that love God. Because you're not going to have this passion for God if you isolate yourself from the people of God. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. And let us consider how may we spur one another unto our love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. It's another biblical verse. And some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see in the day approaching. Encourage one another, motivate one another. New Hope Christian Assembly, there are many other passions that can kill us. Many other passion killers here, and we know there's many other passion killers that can just kill us. Now we recognize there's some passion killers. There's one more, I don't even have it in my notes. There's one more, is a hidden sin. Or unforgiven. There's a sin in your life that kills your passion for God. That sin is like cancer. It will kill you. It can be alcohol, it can be a drug, it can be a pornography, it can be pride, it can be jealousy, and the list can go on and on and on. It can be covenant, it can be in and on and on and on. If there's a sin in your life and you don't cut that away from you, you won't have this passion for God. You're just coming on the emotion, the church. But you got to confess. And the Bible tells us it's not up there. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1 verse 9, it tells us this. We have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. If we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is what? He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we don't have any sin, we make Him a liar. Every one of us sin. Every one of us make mistakes. Every one of us fall. But some of us are having this hidden sin in our life. Deal with it today. If you don't deal with it, it will kill you fast. It will destroy you and destroy the passion for God. Deal with it this morning. So in conclusion, how do we get our passion back? Very simple. But here are 4 passion killers. Unclear purpose, unbalanced schedule, unresolved conflict, unsupported lifestyle. And I'd like to leave you with this simple practical ways how to restore our passion for God. First thing is to make up your mind. Make up your mind. You need to decide that nothing will keep you from experiencing the increased passion for God. Make up your mind and say, I want to experience this passion again for God. And if I have to let go of things, I'll let go today because I want to make this decision today. The second thing is confess that you have lost this passion. And some of us did lose that passion. When you confess, it will be restored. Third is take action. Take to the step. Take that step. Do whatever it needs to do to restore your passion for God again. So whatever they may be, if you need to fast, fast. If you need to pray, pray. If you need to put aside some time, do it to get that passion again for God. Now, some of us might be here for the first time and might be saying, well, this is a message not for me because I am not maybe a follower of God. I'm just an attendee. I just came. But my encouragement is to you. I just pray that you encourage through the praise and worship, through the word this morning, and to have this relationship with God. Because you would set you free when you experience Christ. And when you experience that Christ, He will put something in your heart that you won't want let go. Remember, passion leads ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Let's all stand this morning. As the musicians come forward, I want to sing one song and then we're going to pray. And before we pray, reflect on this for a moment. If you were a believer for so many years and you said, yeah, I did lose my passion for God. While we worship the Lord, while we sing together, reflect on that. Say, I want back that passion. I want to get that excitement for the Lord again. Just ask Him, confess, take action, and say, Lord, I want that passion again. I just don't want to be the routine guy just coming or a routine woman just coming and doing things like that. So if you're here this morning and that message was for, I think it was for 99.99999% to have that passion for God again. And remember, when we have that passion for God again, great things happen. We go the extra mile. We do things that, like we've done when we're in love, we open that door. Get that passion. You say, no, I love you so. And you had the passion for her. And you open that door. Get back to that day when you met Christ the first day. The first time you've experienced God, He filled you with the passion to love, to care, to go out. Let Him fill your heart again. Restore your passion this morning again to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. So if you say, I want more of the passion of God, as we sing this song together, pray and ask God, come. Come in my heart and fill me again with your passion of the Lord. Let's sing together.